the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Tuesday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with David Dawson and Damian Colano. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning. Woo, it's a great morning. Yeah. How about them Tigers?
Go Tigers.
Was that a game?
So much fun.
In more ways than one.
So much redemption.
Redemption really in a lot of ways. You know, from the night before.
Climbed out of a deep hole there.
From 2017.
Yeah.
I mean, just 24 hits in a game. Every player scored a run who started the game and also got a hit.
And beautiful shots that the camera took. Our pitcher, Skeens, picking up the catcher. Malazzo with a broken leg. And carrying him out to the dog pile. That spoke volume.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
So good stuff. A lot to be thankful for. And good sportsmanship from Florida as well as all the other teams LSU faced. Not only this World Series, but for the whole season. Yeah. We're thankful for a great year.
Yes.
And we're going to start our morning off with a prayer. Feast day of St. Cyril of Alexandria. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. O God, you made your bishop, St. Cyril, the invincible champion of the divine motherhood of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Through his intercession, may we be saved by the maternal protection of her whom we believe to be truly the Mother of God. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Cyril, pray for us.
So he was a Louisiana boy? Is that what you're saying?
They say his roots might be in Alexandria. Also the feast day. Let's not forget the feast day of Our Lady of Perpetual Help.
Oh, is today?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Church I got married in.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh.
In Leroy, Louisiana.
All right, then. Shout out to Leroy.
It's also... it's also my dad's birthday. I want to wish my wonderful dad a happy birthday. I'm so grateful for you, and I hope you have a great day today.
Us too.
I'll call you later. And I know he's listening. He always listens every morning, so grateful for him to tune in as well. But we have a great show for you today, starting off with some events in our listening area. We will give you details about that's coming up in 5 minutes. In 18 minutes, Richard Meek joins us. He's the editor of the Catholic Commentator, the official Catholic newspaper of the Diocese of Baton Rouge. He's going to be updating us, and he has quite a special announcement, so you definitely want to tune in for that segment. In 35 minutes, Father Brad Doyle joins us. He's a priest of the Diocese of Baton Rouge and pastor of Our Lady of Mount Carmel in St. Francisville. You guys, one of the most beautiful churches, I think, in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Absolutely
just
breathtaking.
Beautiful.
He's going to be talking about his gift shop and giving us some parish updates. Mm-hmm. And in 48 minutes, Father Carlos Martins joins us to talk about his book, Father Gabriel Amorth, the official biography of the Pope's exorcist. So quite an interesting interview today with Father Carlos. And looking forward to today's show. And Damian, my goodness, I mean, it just gets hotter and hotter outside, doesn't it?
What's your weather report? We were blessed. The Baton Rouge in South Louisiana, most of it, got a midday shower.
Yes, big time shower.
That lasted for quite a while and actually cooled things down.
Yeah, it was unexpected, but it was nice.
We were lucky, and we appreciated the good Lord that he sent some rain our way. Hopefully someone else will get it today.
Yeah.
The heat is on, though. You're right, Gabby. 99 is the expected high today. Heat index 115. Whoa. And stray showers may pop up, otherwise humid for the rest of the week. Temperatures are all in the 80s, and right now New Orleans is the hot spot, 83. It's 5 after the hour on Wake Up.
A good Tuesday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not give what is holy to dogs, or throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them underfoot and turn and tear you to pieces. Do to others whatever you would have them do to you. This is the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction, and those who enter through it are many. How narrow the gate and constricted the road that leads to life, and those who find it are few." We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
At the time of Jesus, the terms holy and sacred had a primary reference to the flesh of animals offered in temple in sacrifice. Only the priests and their families were permitted to eat the flesh that was offered to God. The symbolism of eating the sacrificial animals represented communing directly with God, in whom the animal now belonged. Thus, only God could invite men to so great an intimacy. By addressing his apostles in this manner, Jesus implies a priestly identity in them, for they are commanded not to carelessly give away the holy and sacred things they possess. The sacred objects they possess is, of course, Jesus himself. The amazing Eucharistic mystery of the altar leads us to the unsurpassable realization of the sacrificial presence of the Word, who is the Lamb of God, shedding his blood during his passion and now perpetually interceding for us in heaven. And because all Christians are one in Christ, we share in his priestly character. The betrayal of the sacred priestly identity by Christians is here defined in dramatic and violent terms. To be unfaithful to our stewardship of the mystery of Jesus' presence is to throw away that which is holy to dogs, or to throw our pearls to swine, the most unclean of beasts. And so, regardless of the meaning we give to dogs and pearls and swine, one thing is clear. God takes the sacred very seriously, especially the glorified body of his divine Son and the humble form of bread and wine. St. Paul addressed the terrible sin of sacrilege, the unworthy reception of Holy Communion, in his first letter to the Corinthians. He said, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. For anyone who eats or drinks without discerning the body eats or drinks judgment upon himself. And that is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died." Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy and Father Chris. Happy Tuesday, everyone. It is June 27th. You're listening to Wake Up. Damian Collado, Gabby Smith, Dave Dawson, and some events. St. George Catholic Church in Baton Rouge, the Men's Acts Retreat is going to be August the 10th through the 13th. It'll begin Thursday evening. You'll leave St. George Catholic Church and head to the Tracy Center in Baton Rouge, and then you'll return on the 13th for 11:30 Mass and a reception to follow. It's $350 per retreatant, and if you need more information, go to ccmedia.live on how to register for the upcoming retreat.
I've done that. St. George, too.
Same
George
here.
Acts. Life-changing.
Yeah.
It is actually, a wonderful retreat.
I actually made my retreat with Father Brad's dad.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a wonderful retreat. I highly recommend it. Okay, for the women, St. Peter's Catholic Church in Covington Women's Prayer Group, Lectio Divina, is a tradition Catholics practice of scriptural reading, meditation, and prayer on the daily Holy Scriptures. In addition, the women's prayer group will again be using the book Fresh Bread by Joyce Rupp. They meet in the St. Peter Ministry Center every other Friday from 9:15 to 11 a.m. So it's a good way to start the weekend.
You bet.
Right?
Yeah, we'll want to keep in touch with everything happening at Catholic Community Media. Well, you can join our newsletter list and keep up to date with everything going on with our station. You can go to ccmedia.live, and if you scroll to the very bottom of the homepage, there is a sign up for your newsletter form. You just type in your email address and click submit. Super easy. So ccmedia.live to keep up to date with everything Catholic Community Media.
Yeah, see, and you can go there. Up to. Yeah, and you could send some events that way too.
Sure.
Easy way to do it as well. Here's one for you high school students. If you still need service hours, you better hurry up. Explore the SERVE, S-E-R-V-E, which is Students Engaging in Reflective Volunteer Experiences. It's a program in the New Orleans Archdiocese, and it's all part of Catholic Charities there. SERVE provides opportunities for high school students to serve the community during their summer break, earn some service hours, and make an impact on the lives of others in your community. Hey, if you want to register, you can do that. It's currently, there's some spaces that still need to be filled. For more information, go to ccmedia.live.
And speaking of volunteers, Notre Dame Hospice in New Orleans is looking for volunteers to serve in your church parish. Volunteers can provide care, giver relief, companionship, run errands, play music, take a meal, read to, pray with a patient. Any talent you have can be useful. You don't need to physically handle patients if you don't want, and there's no medical background necessary. So if you're interested or would like to know, I'd like more information, contact Janine Bonner, 504-418-1049, or email jbonner@arch-no.org or go to ccmedia.live.
Well, there's a retreat for those grieving. It's going to be on August 18th through the 20th. Part of our shared human experience is losing loved ones. They're passing, even in the most ideal and peaceful of circumstances, leaves a void and a pain to those who survived the deceased. So you can join presenter Jewel Bahi for grieving in a difficult process, but there is hope. This retreat is going to be at the Cynical on the Lake in Metairie, August 18th through the 20th. You can go to ccmedia.live for details.
All righty. There you go. If you want more, you already heard us. ccmedia.live.
It's all there.
It's all there is right. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, if you have some events that you want to promote, we're all ears. And just send them to us to that media address. In the meantime, we have Richard Meek coming up on Wake Up. He's going to tell us what's happening at the Catholic Commentator in Baton Rouge. It's 15 after the hour on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for June 27th. Today we celebrate Saint Cyril of Alexandria. Cyril, recognized as a great teacher of the Church, began his career as Archbishop of Alexandria, Egypt, in the early 5th century. In this role, his sometimes violent actions included pillaging and closing the churches of heretics and confiscating the property of Jews in retaliation for their attacks on Christians. Cyril's overall importance lies in the role he played in fighting the Nestorian heresy, centered around the two natures, human and divine, in Christ. Nestorius believed that Mary was not the mother of God, but only of the man Jesus. He implied that Christ's humanity was merely a disguise. As the Pope's representative at the Council of Ephesus in 431, Cyril condemned Nestorianism and proclaimed Mary truly the Theotokos, or God-bearer, the mother of the one person who is truly God and truly human. In the confusion that followed, Cyril was deposed and imprisoned for 3 months. After that time, he was welcomed back to Alexandria, where he adopted a policy of moderation that kept extreme partisans under control. Cyril died in 444. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
In It is 19 past the hour. You're listening to Wake Up. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Our first guest today is Richard Meek. Richard is the editor of the Catholic Commentator, the official Catholic newspaper of the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Hey, Richard, good morning. Thanks for being with us today.
Oh, always a pleasure. Good morning. Hope everyone is doing well.
We are doing great, and
it's good to hear your voice again, Richard.
I know. How about that, David?
Well, yeah, stranger.
It's been a while.
It's been a while, yes. Yeah.
Well, Richard, kind of give us an update of what's going on in with the Catholic Commentator in the Diocese of Baton Rouge, because there's quite a change that's going to be happening.
Yes, quite a change. Yes, a couple of changes. So we went to press yesterday, so the paper will be on the street tomorrow and in the church this Sunday, and the bishop has a column. At this point, the Catholic Commentator is suspending publication for the foreseeable future. I don't know what, you know, there's no timetable that has been established. At some point, the format will likely change potentially to a magazine. This has been something ongoing that about 2 years ago, Father Jamin David and Father Chris Decker came to me and said, we want you to change this. And actually, we in March of 2022, Debbie Shelley, who did such a great job the past few months on the radio, and myself, we had it planned, the format planned. We had the first 7 months planned as far as what we were going to do. So everything was ready to go, you know, the printer. But what happened was, at that time, it's just strange how things work out. So there was some type of paper strike in London.
Oh.
And so for the paper we were going to use, glossy magazine style paper, of course, which everybody's familiar with, the prices were through the roof. And so, well, we sat down and looked at it, the diocese looked at it, and so it was sort of like, oh, we need to put the reins on this, because it was so cost prohibitive at that point. And so this has been ongoing, and we've had all the discussions moving forward. And so I think at some point, I know that they want to go to a different format, more of an evangelization tool. Of course, the Catholic Commentator has been more about news and featuring people in the diocese, you know, covering events, ordinations. I think this will be more of an evangelization type product, which is, you know, that can definitely work. As part of this, and I'm really sad to see, you know, it's a melancholy week for me, not only to see the Commentator sunset, but Friday will be my last day at the Commentator.
Happy retirement, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, except it's not retirement.
Oh.
You know, I'll be doing something else in journalism over in Hammond, and so for a secular publication. Okay. Excited about that. I've been doing it for a while now. I'm working for several months, been working two full-time jobs.
Wow.
And so, you know, I passed the torch on to whoever's going to take over. They're actively looking for an editor at this point.
Okay.
And so it's, you know, it's a great deal of sadness, you know, putting my farewell column that, you know, it's been a great 10 years. And really,
wow,
the people that have made it so great are our readers. And, you know, it's gone from everywhere. You know, we went everywhere and you know, from Pankerville to Livonia and Organza and all spots in between.
Right.
And the people were always so welcoming. I mean, they always made me feel at home. I walked in into the river parishes with this funny New Orleans accent, and I think they actually understood what I was saying. Either that or did a good job of faking it. No, they were always so pleasant and just so spirit. You know what? Most of the people you talk to, my own lives were better because of meeting them.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm really going to miss.
Yeah. Wow. Richard, what is one of your favorite stories or memories that you have over the 10 years of being with the Commentator?
Oh, boy, that's a great question. I think, you know, just overall, one of the things I really enjoyed doing was when Bishop Fobb was installed. It was on a Wednesday, and so we traditionally would go to press on that Monday, the way it's set up. And I told the staff back then, I said, you know what? We're going to hold the paper. We're going to go live with this. And they looked at me like I had three heads. Well, it wasn't the first time, of course, they had done it. And we were able to pull it off. I think that was, you know, that was just to be able to do that. And then Bishop Munch's retirement, because I had, you know, I always had a good relationship with Bishop Munch. And because we went way back to the days of both of our days in the Archdiocese. You know, there's a couple of those are just great memories mm-hmm. that, you know, I'll always reflect on. Really, the best memory, though, is the staff. The staff mm-hmm. that worked for me were absolutely mm-hmm. incredible. I've said it before. They did their jobs. All I had to do was get out of the way. Wow. Just not interfere with them. Just let me get out of the way. Y'all do your jobs. I'll sit on the sideline and contribute something every now and then. They really were. They're fabulous. They're dedicated. I think that's really, you know, David, you talk about that. That's the best memory I will have is the staff.
Working with the staff. That's awesome.
Oh, my God. It was amazing. And we went through so many things and I pointed out in my farewell column, we went through so many things in 10 years that no staff should have gone through, including the death of a staff member, including two layoffs, including, you know, two of our staff members have children actually pass away.
Oh, my.
These are just part of the things that we went through as a staff. And I think it always brought us closer together.
My goodness.
And there's just so much laughter in that newsroom. I mean, sometimes I would just be in tears and pinch myself. Like, I'm sitting here and I'm getting paid. And that's the one thing, too. On my assignment, you know, I love ordination, love mm-hmm. covering ordination. I would, you know, pinch myself saying, wait a second, I'm sitting here taking pictures and I'm getting paid to do this.
Yes, yes. Anytime there was a big event, you'd see Richard running up and down the aisles or wherever, you'd see Richard taking pictures. So,
always with a smile on his face, too.
Oh, yes, yes.
And Richard, I remember as a little girl going to my mailbox to get the Catholic Commentator because it was there. My parents would get him in the mail. Mm-hmm. And then when I was a student at Our Lady of Mercy, getting it in my Wednesday folder or Tuesday folder along with all my other grades for the week and papers and everything, because, you know, that was when everyone printed everything out to show the parents, and there was the Catholic Commentator in my folder to give to them as well. So the Commentator has been in my life for such a long time, and of course our relationship on Catholic Community Radio for 5, 6, 7 plus years has just been dynamic to give the news and the top stories for the week to listeners.
Yeah.
And that is something that I think we will always cherish with you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I thank y'all so much for putting up with me every 2 weeks. That, you know, I know that's not easy. Like every 2 weeks, we got the old guy coming on this week. Oh, boy.
Oh, we got to figure out how to get you back on.
Okay.
I looked forward to it. I always look forward to your interviews, Richard.
Richard, can you say where you are going, or you want to keep it?
Yeah. I'm at there's a little secular paper in Hammond called the Daily Star.
Okay.
And I live over that way, and so I'm just a staff writer. It's beautiful. No management responsibilities. It's not retirement, but it's like a post-retirement job. Yeah,
there you go.
And God works in strange ways, because the first full-time job I ever had in journalism was for the Morning Sun over there.
In Hammond, okay.
In Hammond. Oh, that was, you know, well, like I used to ride my T-Rex to cover games. That's how long it was. And then to come back here, and this will obviously be my last job in journalism. So it's really rewarding in that sense. God works in strange ways. You know, leaving the Commentator, leaving the diocese, it wasn't necessarily my plan. Was to really try to stay on a couple of years longer.
Right.
But as I point out in the column, you know, we have our own plans, and there's a master planner up there that just laughs at us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead and make your own plan, dude. Yeah. I got you.
Yeah. Well, you're going full circle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is, and I'm really blessed, and it's been a blessed life, for sure. And just to have y'all a part of it, it really means a lot to me. I got to tell you, I really enjoyed being on the radio with you every 2 weeks.
Well, we enjoyed going and seeing you at different conferences or different events where we're both there together and running into each other and all frazzled and excited because of where we are at that time. It's always a wonderful, wonderful moment. So, Richard, where can we pick up our last issue of the Catholic Commentator and read stories online?
It's going to be online, of course, and then also so many different retail outlets. You know, we've got it up to about 100 retail outlets around the diocese, which wow. I was really pleased with. Wow. And, of course, in the back of churches.
How many do you produce, by the way? What was the total publication each issue?
It did about 30,000.
Wow.
You know, once
okay.
It was around 60. It was at right at 65,000 when it was still being mailed.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, of course, it dropped off because we weren't mailing it. So it was right around 30,000. And so it's just throughout the diocese. And that's the one thing. I can't thank the readers enough. They were so loyal to the commentator. I'm really touched by that. We would get phone calls all the time talking about, you know, readers saying how much they enjoyed it,
nice.
And teachers using it in the classroom.
Oh, nice.
So I can't express enough of thanks to our readers.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much. Richard Meek, editor of the Catholic Commentator, the official Catholic newspaper of the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Pick up your issue this week. You don't want to miss out. It's a very special one. Richard, thank you so much for being with
us
today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Father Brad Doyle joins us when we come back from the break. It is half past the hour on Wake Up.
Five after the hour, folks, and you're listening to Wake Up, and we're trying to get a hold of our next guest, Father Brad Doyle, who is the pastor at Our Lady of Mount Carmel, as well as Our Lady of Perpetual Help up in St. Francisville and Jackson, Louisiana, respectively. But
he's probably still recovering from the game, too.
That was going to be one of my questions. Did you watch the game? And if you did, what did you do to celebrate? You may have to save that for a later date. In the meantime, if you want to celebrate, we have an event that you might want to be a part of. It's called Advent at Sea. We haven't talked about it that much, but if you want a chance to be with Father Chris Decker and the gang at Catholic Community Media, this is your chance to be captivated with them on a ship going to Cozumel and then coming back.
Yes.
It's 4 days, woo-hoo! And it's going to be a lot of fun. And if you haven't booked your cabin, you still have some time to do that. You can go to ccmedia.live. But as I said, 4-night Western Caribbean cruise departing from New Orleans, so it makes it easy. You don't have to go too far. You don't have to get on a plane to get there. Just board the ship in New Orleans, and then you come on back after you get to Cozumel and do whatever it is you want to do there, and then the meantime, on the ship itself, we're going to have Mass every day. Father Chris is going to be available for confession and spiritual direction. So it's really going to be a lot of fun.
What a great way to start Advent.
Yeah, not to mention all the events that take place on a ship to where you can mingle and hang out with Father in a more relaxed atmosphere.
Absolutely.
So anyway, if you haven't done that yet, go ahead and book your cabin. I think I want to say we got like 19, maybe 20 cabins already secured.
I think so.
Have a few more people that are interested, so definitely book your cabin today. You can go to ccmedia.live if you want to see the most breathtaking views, maybe spot a few dolphins. I was on a cruise one time and saw a whale. So I mean, you see stuff you don't see normally, really, depending on where you live, but it's such a relaxing time. And of course, when you have confession and Mass daily, it makes it even more better and that much more special. So ccmedia.live is where you can go and get all of the details.
Very good. Okay. You know, Gabby, you may be more familiar with this than me, but is it Ozanam Inn in New Orleans?
Ozanam Inn.
Well, you know, what they do is they provide the homeless in the city of New Orleans 3 meals a day and limited overnight housing, which is critical right now. Inflation is still impacting a lot of folks. However, last year they provided 75 clients with government housing. Here's what they need now. Because of that, they need furniture. They need things like kitchen items, pots, pans, those type of things, because most of these homes, you know, came unfurnished. Mm-hmm. And so they're having to do that. So if you have a bed, a dresser, chairs, anything that you're looking like, say, man, it's time for me to get that
unload
out of here.
This.
They will come and pick it up. And I normally don't give out a phone number, but I'm going to give this one out. But you can go to ccmedia.live for more info. But it's 504-835-9343 and ask for Bob Barbier. At that number, and they'll come and arrange picking up that furniture that you have and get it out of your way. So you'll be doing a good double duty, so to speak, making the missus happy because you're going to get a new piece of furniture.
Right, and you're unloading.
And helping out a homeless family. Mm-hmm. So just wanted to share
definitely.
That. Yeah. So what else is going
Damian,
on?
Well, and Damian, and you guys... Yeah, you can also become an ambassador. We have a few new ambassadors that we're very excited about.
Yes.
Catholic Community Media. You can go to ccmedia.live. All of the information is on there. What is a CC Media ambassador? So basically, you represent Catholic Community Media at your church parish. So we will give you bumper stickers, prayer cards to put in the back of Mass, back of the Adoration Chapel, active contrition cards for the confessional, different things like that. Mm-hmm. But you talk about Catholic Community Media at your parish. So for more information, which there's a lot of it, you can go to ccmedia.live. It's absolutely free, and we give you the stuff and things to talk about, and you'll be the first to know what's happening at CC Media when it comes to certain events and stuff like that. So
yeah,
we wanted to welcome the ambassadors because we have a few from the river parishes that we're very excited about over in the Archdiocese of New Orleans.
Which means when they have events, you're going to start hearing about their events because of their ambassadors are going to convey that information to us. So if anything's going on, you're getting free promotion of that, you know, during the wake-up show and other ways. So, yeah, ambassadors are very important for your parish and, of course, for us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are.
Very exciting.
So let me ask you guys, anything in particular that you all are doing in regards to the Eucharistic revival personally? Because we're talking about it. That's one of the things we were going to talk to Father Brad about is, you know, what's going on in his church parish, because it's now at the parish level, and that's where the next, which is the second phase, the next phase is focused on. Mm-hmm. What's going on in my church parish? We actually established a chapel, which we did not have at St. Jude Catholic Church.
Oh, fantastic. And you mean an Adoration Chapel?
Adoration Chapel.
Wow.
But yeah. it's open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. and located off of Highland Road in Baton Rouge. But the beauty, it's been a long time, and yesterday was the first day that we opened the doors for
that. Oh, fantastic.
So I had an opportunity to go to Adoration for a little while.
So it's not perpetual Adoration then, right? But it is...
It's open at certain times. That's right.
Okay.
12 hours a day.
Oh, 12 hours a day is a lot.
Yeah, Monday through Thursday, and then on Friday, it's just 8 to noon.
So is the mantras exposed, or how does that work?
No, it's just the tabernacle.
I see. I see. Okay.
And so so Jesus is present and waiting for you. But what that's one of the things that's going on in our church parish.
I really encourage folks to do the Eucharistic adoration. I think that's an untapped resource, that a lot of people don't know about, because it's a wonderful time of peace, of respite, to spend time with Christ, to unload, right?
Sure.
You know, and he's always there. And there are Eucharistic adoration chapels everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just find one. And I don't think you could spend a more peaceful hour. A lot of folks don't know what to do when they get there, you know. And it's like, then go for 10 minutes.
Well, go, but you don't have to do anything.
You don't have to do anything.
Just be silent.
Like Mother Teresa said, I look at him, he looks at me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it.
Hey, if you doze off, what better way to fall asleep in the arms of Christ?
And sometimes I go into the Adoration Chapel and I just have a conversation with God and with Jesus and say, hey, I had a great day today. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, and just tell him about my day. Tell him what's on my mind. Just have that conversation like you're having with a best friend. And it could be 5 minutes, 10 minutes.
Yep.
And then, you know, just sitting with him is a very peaceful time.
Mm-hmm.
It can be.
So anyway, check out what you're doing in your church parish, what they're doing for Eucharistic revival.
Incredible things are coming up, by the way, Damian.
I hope so.
You know,
I'm expecting it.
We got the Fête du Teche is going to be coming up this year, where they have the Eucharistic procession up Bayou Lafourche.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing that.
All the way down the Mississippi, I hear.
Now, they're having a Fête du Mississippi. So it's going to start in Baton Rouge, and barges and tugs and everything are going to go down to New Orleans. And a beautiful procession. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
You
know? Father Champagne spearheading
it? Oh, absolutely. Okay. You know he's behind
over it. Over in St. Martinville?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I tell you what. He's a man of his word. If he says he's going to do it, it's going to happen.
It will get done. Absolutely.
I'd like to see how that's going to come about.
And then there are certain things that we are going to be covering live. There is going to be another Eucharistic procession across country. Okay, and it is going to be coming through Louisiana. So we will cover that for certain. So
The bishops, USCCB, they're doing that as a big movement on their part.
Right.
I think there are 4 points of the United States, 2 starting, you know, 1 in Brownsville. Mm-hmm. I think that's the one that's going to come our way.
Okay. Okay.
But then on the West Coast and then the Northeast and then the Southeast, they'll be doing those cross-country,
which is nice. I know a lot of the parishes are doing a lot of things, and this gets back to the ambassadorship. If you know of something, if you want to be an ambassador and convey that information to us, ccmedia.live.
Yeah. We need to know so we can let everyone else know.
Absolutely.
And especially in regards to Eucharistic revival in your church parish. Just like I shared with you, but now you know if you're in the Highland Road area, you can stop in and make a visit at our chapel. Wake Up's coming up with more.
Past the hour, you're tuning your heart to the truth on Wake Up. I'm David Dawson, along with Gabby Smith and Damian Collado. And you're not quite late for work. You're not going to want to get out of your car anyway, so you might as well just get yourself comfortable because of this next guest that we have, Father Carlos Martins. I'm sorry. We're going to be talking about the book Father Gabriella Amorth. I believe I'm saying that right. The official biography of the Pope's exorcist. Good morning, Father Carlos.
Good morning. How are you?
I am fine. Now, you are not the author of this book. Is that right?
I am not the author of the book. Okay. I am the U.S. spokesman for the book.
Oh, okay. Okay. Now, the first thing we want to do is probably clear something up here. You know, we know that Russell Crowe portrayed Father Amorth in a movie that was, you know, recently released and everything, but that wasn't really the right story, was it?
That wasn't. And that was an exploitive use of the name Father Amorth. Uh-huh. This book here is an authorized biography. So this book was authorized by his religious order. So this tells the story of the man.
Yeah. So the movie doesn't even compare at all. I mean, I even remember seeing an interview with Russell Crowe with Raymond Arroyo, and he pretty much admitted, no, it's just a horror movie. I just used his name. So, I mean... Talk about the real Father Amorth.
Yeah, so, you know, Father Amorth for, over 30 years was the exorcist for the Diocese of Rome. And in that capacity, he was immensely, immensely respected. And he not only was a great man of God and a very effective exorcist, but Father Amorth was a member of the Pauline religious community, and their charism is to communicate the gospel, is evangelization through the use of the media. And Father Amorth did that phenomenally well. Like, he is the person who, in the church's history, is easily the most renowned exorcist because he was so good at just educating the public at large about that ministry and preaching Christ through... by using the devil to do so.
Wow.
By using the devil and his ministry to communicate the grace of Christ, which is presenting the gospel in a very unusual way, but it was a very effective way. So that's Father Amorth in a nutshell.
Wow. Now, stepping back to his history, from what I've read, he had a strong relationship with St. Pio, Padre Pio, huh?
He did. He knew him personally. They kept a correspondence. And this was the part of the amazing thing about Father Amorth is that he was a great communicator and had the gift of gab, was just a friendly, very non-pretentious person.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly in the church in Italy, other than the Pope, he was probably in the last 25, 30 years, the most renowned Italian Catholic. And yet, you know, the man was just so down to earth.
Yeah.
You would see him passing by in the street. He may have a coffee with you. He may not, but certainly would be always good for a brief conversation, for a joke. He loved to joke. Mm. And a pat on the back.
I couldn't imagine doing what he did for a living and then just be able to joke and blow it off, if you
or
will.
Or sleep.
Yeah,
how I don't did know. Sleep? That just sounds intense.
That's a good point, Gabby. How did he become the Pope's exorcist? How did that evolve?
Right. So for many, many years, Father Candido Amantini was Rome's exorcist. The Pope doesn't have an exorcist, but the Archdiocese of Rome, because it's a diocese, it follows canon law, like every other diocese, and has to have an exorcist appointed. And so Father Candido was that exorcist. Now, to put that in perspective, Father Candido lived such a life of heroic holiness that his cause for canonization as a saint is well underway.
Oh, okay.
And so he has been declared servant of God. And so he was reaching the end of his years, and the vicar general for the Diocese of Rome, who was Cardinal Ugo Poletti, one day Father Amorth walked into Cardinal Poletti's office. Now, to put that in perspective, Cardinal Ugo Poletti, so, of course, the Pope is the universal shepherd of the Church, but he's also the bishop for the Diocese of Rome.
Right.
But since the 16th century, it's tradition the Pope puts a vicar, a cardinal vicar, to run the diocese for him. And so that was Cardinal Ugo Poletti. But Ugo Poletti was such a down-to-earth person that if you were a priest, you could knock on his door and he would receive you immediately. You needed no appointments.
Wow.
And he did that because he knew priests sometimes just need a friend, or they may have an emergency. They may just need to blow off steam or whatever. So he had an open door for priests. So one day, Father Amorth goes and just sees him, and the cardinal asks him, "Hey, do you know Father Candido Amantini?" He says, "Well, yeah, I've met him a few times. I don't know much of it, but do you know what he does?" "Yes, he's the exorcist for the diocese." And he said, and the cardinal just paused, brought out a sheet of paper, and in front of him wrote a letter of appointment and then handed it to him and said, "You are his successor."
Congratulations. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Exactly. And so then for the next 33 years, Father Amorth became that successor. Now, for 6 months, he trained under him and was schooled by Father Candido. And then eventually he took it over. And it was a brilliant thing, because Father Amorth was a holy man of God, was really a living saint. He did the craft very, very well. The Church has very definite rules for it, and it has those rules because they work. Because if the rules are followed, the devil's defeated. But he also was just a great apologist for not just exorcism, but the Catholic faith in general.
Because of his charism, right.
Because of his charism.
How many exorcisms did he do?
You know, so it was many thousands. And the thing you know about Father Amorth is he would do some 10 to even up to 20 a day.
And goodness gracious.
He took no days off in a week. So he did them 7 days a week, including, say, Christmas Day.
Wow.
And that was part of his heart at desiring to liberate people. But he also knew, like, why would you not take even Christmas Day off? Because on days like that, God opens up a portal of grace, that there is more grace operating on a holy day like that than on a non-holy day.
Oh, my.
And so he took advantage of things like that. And his heart was completely for God, for the gospel.
That is incredible.
He worked tirelessly.
Wow. Father Martins, I wish we could. I have so many questions for you. We're going to have you back on. I appreciate you joining us. Look, where can they get this book?
The book is available anywhere where people get their favorite books, through Amazon, through Barnes & Noble. It certainly, it is available through the Can Books website. It is certainly very much worth a read. And Father Aborth, in the book, he gives an extended discussion as to how he received his training, which I found
particularly fascinating. Right, right. The book is called Father Gabriel Aborth, the official biography of the Pope's exorcist. Father Carlos Martins, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. You're most welcome.
Wow, y'all.
Powerful.
That, I can only imagine.
Yeah.
And I mean, I have a ton more questions. We're going to have him back.
Yeah, we could have had him for two segments.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. All right. Well, this being the feast day also of Our Lady of Perpetual Help, we'll end the show with the Hail Mary. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Have a wonderful Monday, a wonderful Tuesday. God bless. Thanks for tuning in.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.